Welcome to Politics Up Close on KCBW. I'm Jeff Robinson. Former Salt Lake City Mayor Rocky Anderson doesn't see much difference these days between the Democratic and Republican parties, citing Democrats' unwillingness to bring about universal health care, support for the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, and reliance on corporate money. The former mayor no longer wants to be identified with a D next to his name. Now he's pledging to help create a different party, one that would commit to things like repealing the Bush tax cuts for the wealthy, ending the wars, and investigating war crimes by elected officials. But what exactly would it take to form a viable third party in this country that could get elected? Mayor Anderson joins me now in the studio to discuss his plan. And Rocky, it's great to have you this morning.
Good morning, Jeff. Great to be back.
Listeners, we want to have you join us on the air this morning. Are you a Democrat yourself? And if so, do you agree with Rocky that the Democratic Party is in sorry shape, or is he being too harsh? We welcome your questions and comments at 801-355-TALK. That's 801-355-8255. And Rocky, have you always had these feelings about the Democratic Party to some degree, or did this perhaps start around the time of the war in Iraq, or was it a different time?
Well, it actually goes back to the Clinton years when we saw President Clinton turn far to the right. His so-called welfare reform, which I think was a radical change in the extent of the safety net that we provide in this country for those who are most vulnerable. His disregard for tax equity. He did build up a great surplus, certainly, which has now been turned into a record accumulated debt that we'll be putting on the shoulders of our young people. But his disregard, for instance, of 800,000 people being killed in Rwanda when he turned a blind eye to that genocide. So there were a number of things during the Clinton administration that really bothered me. But I still consider myself a Democrat. I realized we're not going to agree on everything over time. But now we see, in terms of the fundamentals, the continuation of these wars, the continuation of the Bush tax cuts. And by the way, there are three things that have led basically to our nation's horrendous debt problems. The first is this caving in to the military-industrial complex by both parties. They both receive a lot of money from defense contractors. Defense contractors are very smart. They start a military program, and then they go around and get as many subcontractors in as many states and congressional districts as they can. So you see the obscenity of somebody like Rob Bishop here in Utah fighting for continued funding for the antiquated F-22 program simply because they're servicing the F-22 at Hill Air Force Base. Mm-hmm. That's not in the national interest. That's just the worst of pork barrel politics. But these are billions of dollars behind these kinds of projects. We also saw Dianne Feinstein on the Democratic side and a lot of other Democrats doing exactly the same thing because there were contractors for the F-22 program in 42 states. And that's consciously done by these military contractors. They know very well what they're doing. So you have that as a major contributor to our debt problems. You have these wars. People talk about these wars costing between $1.2 and $2 trillion. Think of that. What we would be able to do in terms of resolving our debt problems in this country, our education problems, building up our infrastructure, and instead, and taking care of the poor, of course, but instead we've been pouring it into these wars that we were dragged into, especially in the case of Iraq, on a pack of lies, and nobody's been held to account for that. And we would not have been able to do that were it not for the Democrats caving in. And even the woman who's Secretary of State right now, voting without even reading the National Intelligence Estimate and acquainting herself with the great disagreement in the U.S. intelligence community about what President Bush was telling us. And then, of course, you've got the tax cuts that the Democrats went along with and now the Democrats have allowed to continue.
And Rocky, I imagine an initial response you might get from a lot of people about this is that, you know, in their ideal world, perhaps many Democrats would have the exact same platform as you. It's just that they can only get so much done. They didn't want to extend, for example, the Bush tax cuts for the wealthiest, but because of the situation with the Republicans and how you have to have 60 votes now in the Senate to get anything accomplished, they did as much as they could. How would you respond to that?
Well, the way I respond to it is they were in the majority. They could have stopped those Bush tax cuts at the time. And if they're in the minority and they want to change things, they could have exercised the filibuster. I think the filibuster has been horribly abused. The filibuster was not intended to require a 60% majority. And when the Democrats were in the majority, they should have taken care of that. They should have made certain that we don't have this logjam anymore because of the filibuster. But they're no more principled than the Republicans when it comes to this kind of thing. When they're in the majority, you don't hear them calling for an elimination of the Electoral College, for instance, an absolutely anti-democratic institution in this country. It was interesting when the Democrats were in the minority during the Bush years. John Conyers, who was on the Judiciary Committee, was holding mock impeachment hearings. They were out there pushing on this and pointing out the lies and the human rights abuses, some of them, wasn't certainly a majority of the Democrats. But we saw a real opposition force in Washington. As soon as they won the majority, all of a sudden they become these timid creatures. Nancy Pelosi, one of the first things she said is impeachment's off the table. And they all tucked tail and ran away from these issues because they wanted to stay in power. Staying in power seems to mean more than holding tough on any principles. And I just don't buy it. If our president really felt strongly about tax equity, he would have drawn a line in the sand and never caved as he did. But the same thing with universal health care. At the end of the day, President Obama's health care plan, we're going to have 23 million people in this country still uninsured. That is the lousy so-called reform that we got with the kind of timid and I would say even cowardly leadership that we've had. And it's not just President Obama. It is those members of Congress who care more about pleasing those who fill their campaign coffers than they do about the public interest.
Listeners, you can join us on the air with former Salt Lake City Mayor Rocky Anderson and your thoughts and comments on the state of the Democratic Party. We're at 801-355-TALK, 801-355-8255. And David is calling from Cottonwood Heights. David, what's your question or comment for Rocky Anderson?
Well, I just support Rocky and what he's talking about, and I think that the problem is what he articulated was that they just want to stay in power, and you know, more importantly, they want to be on the good side of the corporations and all the larger companies and the military-industrial complex. And so it makes you realize that the highest tier isn't our politicians that are elected by the people; it's the corporations that seem to be running the politicians. And then the politicians are forced to sell out to the people that elected them because they just want to serve the corporations that give them the money to stay in power.
All right, so, David, you're breaking up there a little bit, but we appreciate your call very much. 801-355-8255 is a number. And continuing along with David's thoughts there, Rocky, what would you point to specifically when it comes to the influence of corporations on the Democratic Party? Any specific politicians that you would point out? I guess you pointed out Dianne Feinstein, but
And that's really unfair because it's the majority of people in Congress that cave into these defense contractors because they have so many subcontractors spread around the United States so that they can have that kind of an impact in our system. There are so many different things. The defense spending generally, we're spending as much in this country, and we shouldn't call it defense. We haven't had a defensive military for years. It's an aggressive, imperialistic military where we're going around the world trying to impose what we want to only in our interests, even to the point now of going around the world and murdering U.S. citizens, and it is murder. Under the Due Process Clause, I have to do is take a look at it, to go around and point without charges, without a trial, pointing at people and saying, we're going to go assassinate them and they're U.S. citizens. That's how bad it has become, and that's under a Democratic president with the support of a Democratic with support of Democrats in Congress. But we're spending as much on military in this country as the rest of the world combined. We're spending upwards of $700 billion a year on military. Do you know what China? They're the number two in the world in terms of military spending, $119 billion. And we're spending $700 billion. And this is at a time when we've never had greater economic disparity between the very rich and the middle class and the poor. And that's what's really, I think, at the core of this Occupy Wall Street movement. And it ultimately is what is at the core of what will be a major, major shift in this country.
Rocky, how much of your dissatisfaction has to do specifically with Democrats in Utah, be they in the state legislature or in Congress?
You know, this isn't just about Democrats. This is about both parties feeding at the same trough, being bought and paid off by the same interests, and ultimately not doing what the American people want them to do. There is vast disagreement by both Republicans and Democrats, not only with Congress generally, but with members of their own parties who are serving in Congress. There was a really interesting article in the Wall Street Journal recently by a couple of longtime pollsters, Patrick Cadell and Doug Schoen. This was really shocking to me. According to one of their polls, a Rasmussen Reports poll, just 17% of likely U.S. voters think that the federal government today has the consent of the governed. That is, people feel, and it's true, that Congress is disregarding what we need and what we want as American citizens. They found in a poll that a solid majority of Americans are now looking for alternatives to the two-party system. 57% of respondents said there is a need for a third party. And this is what's really amazing. Without reference to who the third-party candidate or what the party would be, one in five, 20% of respondents said they were absolutely certain or very likely to vote for a third-party candidate. That's how much the American people have absolutely had it with our elected officials who are not serving our interests in almost any respect in the United States Congress or the White House.
We want to take one more call before we go to a break. Lots of people who want to speak with us. Former Salt Lake City Mayor Rocky Anderson at 801-355-8255. And Bonnie, you are on the line with Mayor Rocky Anderson. What's your question or comment?
Yes, I'd just like to say that I've been a complete supporter of you for many years, but I think that at this point is the wrong time to talk about third parties. We need to look at what Barack Obama, President Obama, has done. And it took 60 years to get any kind of medical change, and there are 300,000-plus people in Utah without any insurance half again that many also with too little insurance. And we need to support him, not do what Mr. Nader did. I like Mr. Nader too, but instead of running for Senate, you two are saying let's have a third party. You know, look at Bernie Sanders. He's in there fighting. We need more people like you, like Mr. Nader, to actually be in Washington instead of asking for a third party. Because at this point, it really is a matter of either keeping this medical insurance or having none again for all of our people.
Bonnie, we appreciate your call very much, and I think you make a great point that a lot of people might agree with when it comes to what you're saying. Rocky, how do you respond?
Well, there's a sole issue about whether we vote for the lesser of two evils and whether we allow a spoiler to get in the way and see what happened in the year 2000. Actually, what happened in the year 2000, it wasn't Ralph Nader that lost that election for Al Gore. It was Al Gore who ran a lousy campaign. Some 200,000 or 300,000 Florida Democrats voted for George Bush. Al Gore lost his own home state. There were, I think, at least three other third parties that were on the ballot in Florida that got more votes than the margin of victory in Florida. Nobody points the finger at them and says, oh, you are the one who handed us George Bush. And Bonnie, I just asked you to take a look at your insurance premiums. What's happened to your premiums, and what do you think is going to happen when the insurance companies are covering everybody, including those with pre-existing conditions? And since this is in the private sector, it's all going to fall on you and me and everybody else that's struggling to make a go of it to pay those premiums. And the rest of the industrialized world, consider this. They're paying much less per capita. Our costs have skyrocketed unconscionably. So in terms of costs, we fell in comparison with the rest of the industrialized world. Every other nation in the industrialized world covers everyone. Nobody goes without health insurance, and nobody is filing bankruptcy in these other countries. The entire industrialized world, we have hundreds of thousands of people every year filing bankruptcy because of their medical bills. And that's going to continue under this Obamacare program. They have guaranteed at least a 20% return. That is for wages, bonuses, their marketing, all of this waste in our for-profit insurance system. There's not another country in the industrialized world that depends upon a for-profit insurance system. And that doesn't mean they all have nationalized insurance like they do in England. There are some countries that have non-profit insurance plans that people can pick from, but the government set how much it's going to cost for different medical procedures and what's covered by insurance. We have totally failed in this country, and our president didn't even stand up. He caved almost immediately, even to the concept of a public option that would compete against these for-profit insurance companies. He's provided horrible leadership, as is the Democratic Party on the whole.
Listeners, we have to take a short break. You can still join us with former Salt Lake City Mayor Rocky Anderson. The phone number this morning to call, 801-355-TALK. That's 801-355-8255. This is Politics Up Close. I'm Jeff Robinson, and we will be right back. And welcome back to Politics Up Close on KCBW. I'm talking with Salt Lake City Mayor Rocky Anderson about his desire to form a viable third party in this country, as he feels that Democrats and Republicans alike are not representing the interests of the American people. And you can join us on the air at 801-355-TALK, 801-355-8255. And we're going to go back to the phones now. James is calling from Salt Lake City. What is your question or comment for Rocky?
Yeah, Rocky, I wonder if you've been down to Pioneer Park.
I have, several times, actually. And I'm totally supportive of what they're doing and the message, because it's about time that Americans wake up and realize we are like sheep being taken to the slaughter.
There you go.
Unless we were in the top 10% in this country.
That's right. And about this disclosure law and term limits, I think that that's got a lot to do with it. I mean, Hatch has been in the Senate for over 30 years. I don't think that's right. I don't.
Well, the voters keep sending him back, so
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, I know.
But our campaign finance system is so absolutely corrupt. And that's another thing. Neither of the parties will stand up for a constitutional amendment now that the Supreme Court came down with that outrageous United Citizens case. We need a constitutional amendment making it clear we're going to get this corrupting influence of money out of our political system. That is what's in the public interest. But those who are benefiting from this corruption, both the Republicans and Democrats, they have no interest in changing the rules.
Listeners, 801-355-8255 is the number to call. And going back to your point about a third party and Americans' desire for that, we have Jocelyn on the line with a question about third parties. And Jocelyn, what's your question for Mayor Anderson?
Hi, Rocky. I've spoken with you a couple times before. I am a registered Democrat, and I identify as a progressive liberal. I don't think there's much difference between the Republicans and Democrats right now. They both seem to be in the pockets of Wall Street and corporations. Everyone knows that. But my question is just what's your plan to get a third party started and getting people to join it, particularly here in Utah? What are the steps to get that to take off?
That's
my question.
What we'd like to do, and this isn't a – I don't want to be the one who does this and writes out the platform and drives this whole thing. I wanted to make a call and see if this resonates with people, which I know that it does. We've just got to get people out of their seats and actively involved and letting it be known that this is what we, the American people, want, that we've had it with the income and wealth disparity in this country. This is like a new gilded age. In fact, it's probably worse now than what the Gilded Age was. We've basically got an economic aristocracy in this country where the middle class is barely hanging on. Think about it. People who say they're okay with what's going on and with President Obama and Congress, 22% of the children in this country living in poverty, while the top 1%... Their share of the income went from 9% in the 1970s to now, in last year that we have figures for, 2007, 23% of all of the income in this country going to the top 1%. And that's with the collusion of the Democratic Party. So to answer your question, we just want to hear from people. We want to see letters to the editor. Contact me. I've got two Facebook pages, email. Just talk to people, show up down at Pioneer Park, let folks down there know that they've got a lot of allies, that we may not agree with everything we're doing, but we certainly agree that things have got to change in terms of the gross economic inequalities in this country, and it's in all of our interests. This isn't just about those who have been Democrats or Republicans. This is about all of us. And again, I'm not one to demonize the 1%. I think the enemies have been those that we've elected and hired to represent our interests in Washington, D.C., and who have so badly betrayed us over the years and disregarded the public interest.
Jocelyn, we appreciate your call. We're on the air with former Salt Lake City Mayor Rocky Anderson, who is now the Executive Director of High Road for Human Rights. 801-355-8255 is our phone number. And Rocky, I want to talk about one specific point you make. You point to the new Democratic Party in Canada as an example, and just took the majority there in Parliament. That was a pretty huge victory for them and a really big international story. What is it about them that you think you can take away?
Well, I think we can do what the NDP did in Canada, but it won't take us 50 years. Fortunately, we've got social networking now. We've got a democratized means of communicating with one another to organize. We've seen it happen in the Arab world, people rising up against the status quo. We can do that in this country. And to answer Jocelyn's question, we are going to try to host a meeting here in Salt Lake City, try to bring some of the best minds from around the country, people who are interested in pursuing a third-party alternative. And I try to discourage people using the term third party because there are other parties. This is an alternative party, but it should be eventually, I like to refer to it as a second party, since Republicans and Democrats are, by and large, the same party, being financed by the same people and pursuing essentially the same economic policies and the same warmongering parties. They're both corporatist, militarist parties. But this is something that ought to happen organically and move into a really focused, organized movement in this country. And it's going to happen. I don't think the people will stand for this dramatic change in terms of the economic disparities.
Rocky, I want to go back to your point about prosecuting elected officials for war crimes under the Bush administration. And as you mentioned, the Obama administration and Congress took the position from the very start that was a path they were not interested in pursuing. You're now Executive Director of High Road for Human Rights. If the Obama administration were to go down that path, if the Justice Department and Eric Holder did that, wouldn't it have been impossible to do anything else for the past 3 years. Wouldn't President Obama then have had no room to do anything about cap and trade or about
Absolutely
healthcare?
Not. And first of all, he's done nothing about cap and trade. Neither of these parties are going to solve the climate change issue. They've proven that to us. I mean, President Clinton, even with Al Gore as a vice president, got nowhere. He didn't do anything, even when he had a majority in Congress. We don't see the kind of leadership. I mean, President Obama didn't even mention it in his last State of the Union, but he did mention clean coal. And when he was nominated, he mentioned clean coal, whatever that is, because it doesn't exist.
He's also a fan of nuclear as well.
Well, he's been in the pocket of the nuclear power industry since he was in the Illinois legislature. But if we had a party that would run candidates at the state, municipal, federal level, and we had an agreed-upon platform where the majority of people agree on most of these issues, by the way, we would see such a positive transformation in this country. We would see what we saw in the 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s in this country, where we built a solid middle class, where we had a strong economy. And that doesn't mean there weren't some people on the margins living in poverty, but it certainly wasn't 22% of the children in this country, and the massive displacements we're seeing even among the middle class, while the very wealthiest are continuing to get richer and richer and perpetrating these gross economic injustices.
But back to the point about the prosecutions. If President Obama had gone forward with those, no, that's all right. If President Obama had gone forward with those, wouldn't it have created an atmosphere where literally nothing would have happened?
No, I think Washington, our elected officials, we expect them to be able to multitask. And all I'm saying is, don't do it as a vendetta. You know, you don't want a new party and a new president coming in and carrying out a vendetta. Mm-hmm. You simply want them to abide by the rule of law. I mean, I think if you shoplifted before President Obama was elected, you would have been prosecuted, and I don't think he would have granted you a pardon. He's essentially granted immunity to war criminals, admitted war criminals. And that's not only under international law, the Geneva Conventions, the Convention Against Torture. It's under our own domestic laws. So to say that I want to look forward and not look back when it comes to massive violations of these laws, what does that tell us? It tells us that if you're rich and you're powerful, you can violate some of the most important laws that we have on the books and get away with it. You can write books about it. You can make all these millions of dollars going around doing book signings, as Dick Cheney and George Bush have done, and brag about supporting torture and get away with it in this country? What have we become? What does our Constitution mean? And by the way, under the Convention Against Torture, it specifically, as Ronald Reagan pointed out, when the Senate ratified the Convention Against Torture when he was president, he pointed out this convention absolutely requires every signatory nation, and the United States is one of them, to prosecute or extradite for prosecution every person responsible for torture. So to say we're not going to do that, where does that place us among rogue nations in terms of abiding by our treaty obligations and by our own domestic law?
We want to go back to the phones. Lots of people who still want to talk with former Salt Lake City Mayor Rocky Anderson. Ed is calling from the Avenues. What's your question or comment, Ed?
Actually, what I wanted to go back to a little bit was the medical issue that Anderson was talking about, and just wanted to buff out. My wife and I are looking at, actually, we are having to leave the United States probably in July because she comes out from under my COBRA, and we cannot get insurance for her because of pre-existing conditions. So we're literally going to have to immigrate out of the country for a few years just to cover her medically. And I just think there's something obscenely wrong with that particular, to be forced to leave this country to get medication, to get medical care. And I just kind of wanted to toss that out.
Ed, it is an obscenity. And you know, I've actually thought about it myself. As I'm getting older, I paid COBRA premiums after I left the mayor's office. I did not have health care coverage when I left the mayor's office. and paying those outrageous amounts. I mean, they basically can charge you whatever they want. And now what do we have? This Obamacare program that requires everybody to buy this perverse product from these for-profit companies. There's nowhere else in the world. There are countries that require that you buy into a medical plan, but not pay in to private for-profit corporations that have administrative expenses, not in the 2 to 3, 5% range of the rest of the industrialized world, but 20%. And the new health care law actually allows these insurance companies to keep 20% of their premiums. So look what they've done. They've expanded their market to everybody, requiring everybody in this country to buy these products from for-profit corporations. Our premiums are going to be much higher because now they're going to be covering everybody with pre-existing conditions, and they're guaranteed that they can keep up to 20% for administrative expenses, profits to shareholders, outrageous salaries, compensation for their employees, their CEOs, all the bonuses and everything else. We are getting some of the worst outcomes, medical outcomes, at the highest cost and without providing coverage for everybody. It's absolutely unique in the industrialized world, and I'm so sorry that you and your wife, we're going to be losing, I think, a lot of talent in this country. And one other thing, it's the tail wagging the dog. How many people take jobs they don't want or stay in jobs they don't want to stay in solely because of health care? And we all know people who have actually stayed married, formally married, even though they wanted to get divorces and move on with their lives. They stayed married simply so that they can retain their health care coverage. It is an obscenity, and it's time the American people all come together because it's in all of our interests, except for those who work for the private for-profit insurance companies.
Ed, we appreciate your call. We're on the air with Salt Lake City, former Salt Lake City Mayor Rocky Anderson, now Executive Director of High Road for Human Rights, and we'll probably have time for one or two more calls at 801-355-8255 this morning. Rocky, when it comes to the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq and the Patriot Act, what do you think of the fact that some of the opposition we're seeing to that now, some of the most vocal opposition, is coming from, for example, Congressman Jason Chaffetz, a Tea Party Republican?
Well, you know, these people are so blindly partisan. All that matters to them is who's in the White House at a particular moment. If it's a Democrat, they're going to stand up and criticize. If it's a Republican, they fall in line. I never saw Jason Chaffetz at any of our demonstrations when we knew that we were lied in to that war in Iraq, when we knew that there were no weapons of mass destruction. And think about it, Jeff. You know, in this country, it seems like everybody focuses on how many of our own servicemen and women were killed or horribly injured, and the families that have been so horribly impacted. And that's very sad. But they certainly weren't fighting for our nation's freedom. And we've got to get beyond that concept because our nation's freedoms have been diminished because of the response to 9/11, not enhanced, and we're at much greater risk in terms of international security. But we ought to also talk about the upwards of 1 million people, innocent Iraqis, who have died. More than that, who have had limbs torn off. There's a young man here in Salt Lake City that I got to know. He was an interpreter, an Iraqi interpreter, had both legs blown off, one arm injured. He recently died. I think he's 23 years old. He gave all of that for this country. They brought him to Salt Lake City. He was basically ignored, lived, I think, a really sad existence here. He was a great guy. I considered him a friend. And he died about a month and a half ago here in Salt Lake City.
I think you're talking about Dr. Albiati.
Dr. Albiati.
We've had him on the station, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, then you've gotten to know him. We need to put a face on it. We need to understand these are innocent, good people in these other nations, and we have made their lives a living hell. And for what reason? There's got to be accountability, and the American people need to know the truth. People like Jason Chaffetz, who now, because of partisan politics, come out in opposition to one of these wars. I'm glad he's doing it. But we know that it's all for politics, and he never stood up courageously against it when we had a Republican in the White House.
Sean is calling from Salt Lake City. Sean, what is your question or comment for former Mayor Rocky Anderson?
My comment is mainly to the point that the reason there's not a third party right now is the party was fixed back in the 30s when they limited the number of the House of Representatives to 400, you know, the amount now.
435.
So as the population has increased, our representation has decreased. And it's basically because the party's fixed it. Now, in my reading of the Constitution, I cannot find anything where it says it should be limited to some number. And I think if there was twice as many representatives, we'd get a lot better work out of them. But they don't have to talk to half as many people to get elected. And they'd probably show up to their committee meetings and do their job.
Well, you know what? We have a congressman here in Salt Lake City, calls himself a Democrat. He doesn't even rise to that level, and I think that's pretty low level anymore. But he won't even show up at a public meeting. He holds these phony, scripted, telephonic town meetings. He will not, and hasn't for years, shown up at a public meeting where he can be addressing face-to-face the people of his district. And if a group of people like now Occupy Wall Street folks, if they want to address him as a group, he doesn't even show up. What kind of representation is that from a congressman? But I don't think the problem with forming a third party is because of the number of people in the House of Representatives. I think the problem is with an American people that have forgotten how to organize, and maybe they haven't been outraged enough in the past. I think it's getting to that point, but it shouldn't just be driven by fear and anger. It should be driven by a sense of grand opportunity, because with the leadership of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, we set things right in this country. We put in place safety nets for people. We put in place a tax code that made sense, where we built a strong middle class and built up our industrial capacity. And we weren't selling off American businesses and American workers, because we've created these conditions where corporations can go overseas and pay much less to people, not providing any health care coverage, not complying with any environmental regulations. The Republican Democratic Party, we know, are both responsible for this situation. It's time we, the American people, say there's got to be a different way. And part of that has got to be an electoral response where we can get behind a new party. May have some disagreements on some of the issues, but fundamentally setting things aright in terms of these gross economic disparities, these imperialistic wars that we've been fighting, and providing a better future for our kids. If I were a young person now, I'd say, wait a minute, you folks have screwed things up so badly. You haven't handled climate change. We're going to have to be dealing with the horrific consequences of that. You've created these economic disparities. You've loaded all of this debt on our shoulders from these wars and these irresponsible tax cuts, and you want us to pay for your Medicare and Social Security? I think young people are getting a really bad deal, and they need to come together and look out for their own future.
Rocky, I have time for just one more question for you this morning. Sean, we appreciate your call, and that is, I think people will hear this and say that you're underestimating the difficulty of forming a viable third party when so many have tried to before and to actually get elected. Sure, we have social media, Facebook and Twitter these days, but considering how entrenched the two-party system is, aren't you underestimating the difficulty of this task?
Well, I think if that's the end of your analysis, you're just resigning yourself to the status quo. And I can't imagine that we've become that lethargic in this country, where we're going to line up like sheep to the slaughter, as I said earlier, and allow this to continue. Are we going to allow our president to gather all this imperialistic power in his own office? Really, we have a president. President Obama has pushed for the power to point to anybody, including apparently citizens in this country, and detain them indefinitely without charges or a trial, to go around the world and continue kidnapping people, to not hold war criminals accountable, to continue all of these bailouts to the wealthiest while we have so many people living in poverty in the middle class barely hanging on. No, I don't think it's a matter of it being too difficult. I think it's a matter of people who really care standing up and saying, we're not going to put up with this anymore. We're going to join together. We're going to organize. We're going to mobilize. And we're going to do what people at other times in the history of this country have done under circumstances similar to this, although they've never been this bad. And we're going to change things because it's within our power. This is not the natural course. These kinds of economic disparities, for instance, are not just a natural market phenomenon. They are the consequence of bad public policy driven by parties that have been bought and paid for by those who have benefited.
This is Politics Up Close on KCBW. My guest has been former Salt Lake City Mayor Rocky Anderson. He's now Executive Director of High Road for Human Rights here in Salt Lake City. Rocky, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, Jeff.
We'll be right back.